I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
This is Annika Jackson, and one of the first things I'm going to say, because I always forget to do this, is if you have not subscribed to the podcast, if you're not following us, if you haven't left a review or rating, please do so. It really helps discoverability for other amazing entrepreneurs and small business owners who are out there and want to hear from my fantastic, successful guests. Today, we have Matt Drink on here. Matt, number one, I have to say, the first thing you said to me before we started recording was that you love my energy. I hadn't even said anything yet, but I see the same thing in everything I've looked up online. Your LinkedIn profile, you have a podcast called The Eternal Optimist. I always feel like I'm the eternal optimist. No matter what happens, I'm like, oh, but it's okay.
Fantastic. Right? Yes. Oh, we're kindred spirits. I'm so glad that we have this. Yes. Awesome.
But also, you're a business coach, you're a strategist, and you are a front row dad. That value of making sure that we're showing up fully as parents and in our relationships, I think that is first and foremost, and it adds so much more to our world of work. So thank you. Thank you for leading with that in your profiles and in everything you do. And thank you for being here today and taking some time on this Friday afternoon.
Yeah, this is an investment of time. I'm excited to be here. Just thank you for the invitation. It's great to meet another eternal optimist.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, this is a thrill. I'm ready for this ride, baby. Let's jump on the roller coaster and see where we go.
Awesome. So you have been, for your career, you majored in business, you've been in marketing, sales. What led you down that path?
I'll tell you what. It was real simple. I got into sales, marketing, business because I was a poor, broke college kid who didn't have a trust fund to lean on. And I never had any money, right? Like all the friends that I remember there was a movie. It was called Scent of a Woman. Remember this movie back in the 90s? Al Pacino was in it. And that guy, Chris, there was another guy in it. He was the poor kid there on scholarship. Well, that was me. So I was at this school where everyone was wealthy and I was the poor kid on scholarship. And everyone went out, they spent all of this money, all this stuff. I didn't have any, so I wanted some. And I knew that sales is a way that people, they can make these commissions, right? So I had to find a good product and I found it. Annika, I found it. I found Cutco knives in college. And it's like the ideal college kid job. If you have a little bit of perseverance and grit and you know, emotional resilience to rejection, then you can make some really good money. You can control your schedule and you can, well, sell a great product. So I found that and I just caught the bug and it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger over time. That's how it all started though.
Yeah.
You know, I was waiting tables. I was cutting grass in the summer times at a golf course. And those were all hourly. And I'm not going to knock anyone that's on an hourly wage because I did it for a long time. A lot of people that I do know, they are on hourly wages. That's great. Everyone has their own way they want to live. And I wanted to be in uncapped commission sales. And that's what led to me. I wanted the freedom and the flexibility I wanted to earn. That was it. That was why initially. And the reason I stay in it is because of this place that I'm in now as a business coach, right? And I've trained and recruited thousands of people to work for me. And I've been through like 10,000 interviews or more with people. So people who run companies in many cases don't have all that experience and they run it sometimes and they don't know how to do those things. So I go and coach them how to do those things. And it's just such a rewarding, gratifying place to lead leaders and to help them scale up their businesses and impact so many hundreds of thousands of employees and clients they have. That's why I just want to help them continue to grow and impact their people. Yeah. So that's it.
Wow. Well, that's not just it. I think you're showing a lot of really important skills, right? You had the grit, you had determination, you had perseverance, determination. You had all these things already innately within you. And I do feel like a lot of times when you aren't born with everything handed to you, that you have to be a little more scrappy and that entrepreneur comes out really early. And then that was true entrepreneurial spirit. Like you did whatever jobs you had to do
to
make sure that you could not just survive, but thrive in the conditions that you were in.
Yes. And I want to go back to resilience and determination and whatever shows up in front of you, you've got to take it and try to run with it. I want to go back to a story because yesterday here in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I reside, I had the honor of going to speak at like a symposium for educators. You know, and there's like 1,000 people here, and I'm looking around this room, and there are so many people that are just thirsty for knowledge and thirsty to learn, and I was one of them. So I get to go and learn. I get to go speak on stage. It was absolutely amazing. Story I want to share that I shared on stage yesterday is the first time I ever faced adversity on a public speaking stage, Jonica. I got up. It was the biggest speech of my life at the time. There was probably 1,500 or 1,700 people in the audience, and I get up on stage, and I run up to the podium, and I do like a jump stop. And the second that I did that, my pants, I was wearing a suit, my pants ripped from my belt all the way down to the crotch in the rear.
Wow.
So I could feel this. There was a giant rip in the pants from the belt down to the rear, and I could feel the wind back there, right? You know, so my derriere is exposed to anyone who might be behind the stage and back there behind the curtain. And I knew that there were a couple of people back there looking, and there I could see them laughing and pointing. And no one in the audience could see this. So I'm up here on the stage. My pants are ripped. My underwear, my tush is hanging out, and no one can see it. And I'm not exactly what you would say a stationary speaker. I like to walk around and get really engaged.
Yeah.
So I'm here on this stage, and I cannot turn to the side.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So I've got a 40-foot wide stage, and I'm like at the carnival, just moving back and forth like this side to side without showing my butt to the audience. And yeah, that was a little bit of resilience. And the point being this, you know, whatever the challenge is that comes at us, whether it is in the moment, as a sales professional, as a speaker, it could be someone who's trying to build a brand, trying to figure out the secret sauce. You know, we've got to have that emotional resilience built in and just come back to our main mission. My mission was to entertain and add value to the audience. If my mission is to grow the brand, then I've got to do that. Even if I'm having a hard time, I can't just stop, take a time out. I got to keep going.
Yeah.
Right. So that was, yeah, I wanted to share the story because I shared it yesterday.
Thank you.
That was it.
That truly is. Yeah. And you can see it just in the way that you speak, in the way that your energy is coming through, that you really are the eternal optimist. And you're like, you know what? That's not a big deal. I'm going to overcome that. And I'm going to continue to persevere. And to that point, there is something that happened. You had a spinal injury at one point in your life. Can you talk about that? Because that is, I mean, everything you are today, whether in business or in life, I can tell comes from this place of continuously refining and just having this positive attitude to get through to the next stage.
Thank you. And thank you for that. I'll take that as a compliment because that's something I intentionally work on.
Right.
And I'm going to take you back in time to the time that was probably the lowest I'd ever been in my life because of me. I was low when I was 28. My dad died suddenly. That was a very low period in time. And we managed to, you know, make it back from that. This spinal injury was a real challenge. And wouldn't it just so happen that the hardest things in your life, they never come around at the best time?
Yeah, of course.
You know, it came around right when we just, 2 months after our first child, I had the accident, the injury I'm going to share with you. 2 months after the first child, literally 1 year to the day that I left the company I was at and I started my own company and became an entrepreneur again. Right. So there were circumstances that were built up to in that moment. It shouldn't have happened, couldn't have happened. I didn't need it to happen at that moment. And it did. So here's what happened. It's Labor Day of 2015. I'm in the South. It's 92 degrees outside. We're in the pool in the backyard. There's 22 people here at this party, the barbecue. And there is in this barbecue on this property, there is a large zip line. Okay. Now, the zip line, imagine this, the zip line, it's about 24 feet above the ground when I am hanging on it. And by the way, I've been down this zip line 30 or 40 times.
Yeah.
Okay. The line is not going to break. There's no problem with the zip line.
Right. Yeah.
But when I'm hanging on it, I'm about, probably about 17 feet up is where my butt is from the ground.
Okay.
Right? And when I jump and start to go down the zip line, there's a little bit of give. I start to go down the zip line, and I'm probably 13, 14 feet from the ground. All right, so I'm not in Costa Rica, 300 feet up in the air. I'm 14 feet from my butt to the ground. All right, I'm also 240 pounds, right? And I've had spinal stuff before, injuries from sports.
Oh.
So I start to go down the zip line, and out of nowhere, the line doesn't break. The attachment to the line breaks. I'm like, what? I don't have time to react or respond to this because it's totally out of nowhere. And 1 second later, I'm seeing stars, literally like they see in the cartoons. It knocked me out. I landed straight on my butt bone. It compressed my spine. I herniated the discs instantly. My spine went from straight to a little bit crooked and crunched instantly. And I guess my body went into overdrive to protect me because all the adrenaline was flowing. I didn't feel a lot of pain when I came to. I just felt something was off.
Yeah.
And it took some people to pick me up to get me up. And I was up, and I was starting to feel a little pain a couple hours later. And within a week, I was in excruciating pain regularly, right? So I get back to my normal routine. And by Christmas time of 2015, I'm able to function pretty well. I played golf. You know, I was able to take a run. But something still wasn't right. And when I came home from a red-eye flight from Los Angeles, and had to sit at the airport for a few hours beforehand and sit 5 hours on that flight and another hour at the airport here in Charlotte to do a coaching call from my car, something gave. And from January to March, my health steadily declined. And I tried everything, right? I did everything you could possibly imagine to try to get your back right, short of having the blade, because I didn't want to get cut. I did not want to have surgery because I'd been under anesthesia 10 times before this. I did not want to go back to surgery unless I had to. So I tried everything from hypnosis to water immersion therapy to cupping to with acupuncture to psychedelics to physical therapy to all kinds of massage and stretching. Nothing worked. Cortisone shots in the spine. That didn't work. So I finally had a surgery on June 14th, 2016. And they told me walking in the following, this changed my life. This conversation changed my life. And if your listeners are in a place to take notes, there's a couple of choice words I'm going to share with you. I'll ask you to take a note on.
Yeah.
So I go to have the surgery and the doctor, Dr. Alfred Ryan III from Duke University, amazing surgeon. He said to me, Matt, there's a chance you may never walk again. And when he said that to me, I thought of that movie with Denzel Washington, the Bone Collector.
Dang.
This man who was a brilliant man, and he wasn't able to move. He was paralyzed, and he had to operate his whole life by breathing through a tube, right? And that is the image I went to. And I'm there with my wife. We're married now for about 2 years. We have one daughter who's a year old. We have a second daughter on the way. And Annika, leading up to the surgery, I had lost my ability to run. I lost my ability to stand for more than about 25 seconds. You know, I couldn't get upstairs. I couldn't cook anymore. I was the cook of the house. I didn't cook for those few months. I mean, if I went really deep, I couldn't make love to my wife. I couldn't pick up my kids. I definitely couldn't play any sports physically. I was in a rough spot. Ended up in a wheelchair, having to wear back braces. I never took any painkillers because I didn't want to get hooked on Oxy because I had some friends that have done that. So I went to the surgery, and he said this to me, I never walk again. Here's the moment you might take note, dear listener. I'm there crying for my wife. And at that moment, I decided to accept that this is out of my control. You know, my ability to control, to know, and to control the variables as a perfectionist, this was something I had no control over.
Yeah.
Right? I could control attitude and effort. I couldn't control how the surgery went. And I know that I needed it, because I wasn't able to keep going at that pace. So we accepted it and we surrendered to, whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. And all I can do is show up and get my best effort, keep learning, keep sharpening, keep doing what I can, even if that means I'm in a chair or if I'm laying down or if I have a full recovery. Either way, I'm going to give it my best shot. So we went to the surgery, and thank God, an hour and 50 minutes later, it was done. And I'm back in the room with it. I come from the anesthesia, come to, and they said it was a success. And literally, 1 minute later, they get me to stand up, and I could walk with no pain.
Oh, my gosh.
And I started to cry. I hadn't walked without pain in almost 7 months. I hadn't walked, period, for more than 20 seconds in probably 3 months. I hadn't been in public but two times in the last 3 months. All right, and one of them, I had a breakdown because of the pain, and it was the pain that would put me into a fetal position on the ground, and I just couldn't move. I mean, it was that bad. So that changed everything, surrendering and accepting that I don't have that control. And that's when this Eternal Optimist podcast, the book, The Eternal Optimist, which, by the way, comes out March 8th, 2024.
Fantastic.
You know, all of these things were born then because I wanted to share the story. And I wasn't sharing any story when it was happening.
Yeah.
All I could do was just, I want to get away from the pain. But when it happened, I wanted to be able to give back in some way, shape, or form in a way that was like congruent and authentic for me. And this is it. This is what has come from it. And it's been a fun ride since.
Yeah.
Right? So I'll pause for a second. That was part of that story that, thank you for asking.
No, I think it's really important to think about those pivotal points in our lives and share them. That's why I like to have these conversations. I don't just want to ask you. I mean, we will talk about getting new clients and sales process, but knowing what you've had to overcome and how you manage through these challenging times, you know, if that makes you a better dad, a better partner to your wife, a better salesperson, a better business coach to me.
Yes.
And
yes.
And the fact, accept and surrender, that is such an important concept. When I live in that space of, I don't know what's coming next, but I'm going to accept it and I surrender to what, you know, the flow, the energy, God, whatever words you want to use, that is when things open up so beautifully.
I believe this now, and always an and. And at the same time, I know that your audience, you have a lot of high performers who listen to this show. Here's a challenge for every high performer out there. We wake up every single day and we may have the identity of a high performer or of a hard charger or of a successful person, and we are not entitled to any of that. You know, we work hard and we earn what we earn. And at the same time, we've got to continuously learn and grow and never feel like we have arrived and we know it all. And that's the danger. When you start to see success, you start to think that you created all this yourself. And yeah, you could own a lot of the attitude and effort that got you there. I love to embrace every day with this learner or beginner mindset that I'm still sharpening, still learning, still growing. And that gives me that youthful exuberance and energy to go attack life every day.
Yeah.
So the challenge for the high performer is not to get stuck in thinking that you did all this and it's all on you. No, it's quite the opposite. You've provided the foundation, filling that every day with a learning mindset, a curious mindset, with a positive mindset. Those are the things that empower us to keep growing and to ultimately, for me at least, live this authentic brand that I would call the Eternal Optimist. It's so congruent to who I am as a human. So I'd ask anyone out there building a brand, how congruent is your brand, your values to you as a human, to you as a leader? Is it there or is it not?
Exactly. You know? And I've had that opportunity where I've gotten into a company where I thought their values matched mine. Maybe a couple people's did, but once I got in, realized that it wasn't the case and things changed. And at that point, I had to choose, am I going to stay here and take this great paycheck and continue working for this company, or am I going to quit? And I am the person who has to quit because I have to be in alignment with my values. But I also think things present themselves to us, right? This injury presented itself, and you tried all these different things, tried all the workarounds until you finally had to do the one thing you didn't want to do. But that solved it once you accepted and surrendered. And somebody might not have to go through a spinal injury, right? I've had another case last year where I realized I was getting sick a lot. And it was really just the stress of trying to perform to other people's expectations and not really listening to, but what am I really passionate about and where am I supposed to be headed? And as soon as I stopped, then the world opened up. I've been, you know, in better health, like all these great things happened, but I had to accept and surrender and go, okay, I'm not meant to do this thing that I thought that I've been working on and trying so hard to put myself into this place to be in this position and to take the next position. You know, you have to step back and sometimes just realize that's not what's meant for you. But what is meant for you is even more beautiful. It is better. It is going to just give you so much more. And now I wake up every day and I'm so excited and energized about all the different things and all the ideas that are starting to flow because of I'm in that state.
So I imagine you are an eternal optimist. I love you. You are freaking awesome. Everything you have said is just so on point and authentic. Just the way it comes from you is so natural. I mean, your body language is so congruent, and I applaud you for that, honor you for that. And here's a look beneath the hood for both Monica and for myself. It may appear to be easy and free-flowing. Well, you know, we are both examples of, you know, overnight successes that took, in my case, 46 years to keep sharpening. And for you, probably many years less than that.
Actually, a few more years than you. So
get out of here. There's no way that you are older than me. No way.
I am. But yeah, it's taken me 49 years to be this comfortable and confident and to now realize that I want to go back and teach other people and help other people, my students at university, for instance, really understand who they are and to live their brand values every day and be able to speak those values when they're when they're selling themselves. Perhaps they're not in a sales role, but maybe they're trying to sell themselves to that perfect employer, right? Or that perfect next position or that perfect next degree they want, and how to use the language that's really in tune with who they are. So, you know, I mean, I think people know by now, I don't do pre-interviews. I like to just come and have it be like in the moment and really, but I have so many great conversations and I connect, like there is a connection. Like after this, we're going to figure out, okay, what are we doing together next? Can I come on your podcast? How else can we help each other in our business?
Yes.
Because you're not getting rid of me now, because like I know who you are because of the intention that you're putting behind what you're sharing and how you're sharing it.
Well, for listeners out there, as we are free flowing and just having this discussion, if you weren't as authentic and awesome as you are, I wouldn't have no problem saying now or later, I don't think that's a good fit and appreciate it and bye-bye. And it's a transaction.
Not every conversation is like this.
Yeah, this feels pretty good to me and it feels genuine. And you know, if you can find that out there, whoever's listening, find that in teammates, find that in clients, find that in life partners, then great, go with that and let that be your tribe. You identify as eternal optimist now. I mean, there's a lot of us out there.
Yeah.
Now, if we go to a greater mission of an eternal optimist, you know, that greater mission and vision of the brand of eternal optimism is, you know, help people to see that there's hope and that they can do it too. And it's not just wishful thinking. It's take the hard stuff, learn how to use that to your advantage. Take the great stuff, continue to appreciate it and sharpen it.
Exactly.
Keep replicating it more and more. Eternal optimism is not about rainbows and unicorns and just naively thinking everything is positive. No, it's putting a positive lens even on the hard stuff, because the hard stuff is ultimately what shapes us and molds us the most. I'm so much farther along in business after failing probably more times than most people who've done sales for a couple of years. You know, I've been rejected countless times. You know, every one of those times, by the way, it's just one step closer to the next yes.
Yeah.
Right. So that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did this experience, going through this pain, deciding to accept and surrender, becoming the eternal optimist with the podcast, now the book that's coming out today, because I'm going to release this episode the day that your book comes out.
Sweet.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
How did that shape the lens of how you worked with clients, how you approached your family interactions, your friends, just life in general?
Yeah. Sometimes there are questions people ask to get me to cry, and I'm comfortable with my emotional intelligence now to be able to cry. And I say this, that it's not just selectively choosing where I want to have this positive lens. I've got to look at all the areas in my life where I'm showing up congruent and not congruent. And there was a particular area that I was not showing up to the best version of me. And it was as a dad.
Yeah.
It was as a husband. Now, a lot of people, I'm going to make this next statement, they might feel that, no, that's not me. And I say this now, any judgment as someone who's been there, who's still working through this, is that I would focus a lot of my energy, most of my energy, on work, on my business.
Because
I grew up in a generation that men provide, go to work, and when you get home at the end of the day, whatever's left in the tank, spend a little bit of time with your wife and kids. And if that's better or worse or whatever that is the model that I saw. And there were a lot of strengths that I gained from my parents. And one of the things that I needed to work on is my priorities, because I was always married to my phone. I was always married to my job.
Right.
And I thought about it incessantly. my wife wasn't getting the best of me at night. She definitely wasn't getting the best of me in the morning because I woke up and went to work. Mm-hmm. And my children were not getting the best of me because I would yell at one of my children in particular who would walk into the room on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
You know, and I would mute out and I would yell her name and say her name. Literally, that was it. I would just say her name. And so in any event, I needed to practice what I was preaching all aspects of my life.
Yeah.
Right. So this eternal optimism, seeing the positive lens on things, means looking at yourself and seeing where you're showing up. And I wasn't showing up great that way. So I had to learn how to live on brand, you know, which is this person I say that I am out in public. I had to be that person. And I had to congruently be that person, own that inner part of me. So whatever it is you think about this right now, team, if you are someone that pays attention to your family and they are the big priority, or you want that to happen, it's just not really happening. It wasn't happening for me. So I joined the Front Row Dads, a group I will always trumpet because now I am a family man with a business. Before, I was a business guy with a family. So I had to solve for that. I had to make myself congruent with who I said I wanted to be. Mm. That was a big part.
That's
Front Row Dads helped me. So if there's a learning lesson here, team, it might be this. This might be a place for a note. It would be who is helping you to live congruently with who you say you want to be and who you really are? Or do you have a coach? You know, do you have an accountability group? If you have faith, is it at your church? Is it at your school? If you're a teacher, if you're a business person, do you have a peer? Who is your accountability partner? Because I am incredibly disciplined and it's hard to use your willpower to be your own accountability partner. Very few can do it.
So hard.
Right? Yeah.
And so often when we're starting a business, we surround ourselves with people we think that we like, that we want to work with, but they might not be the person who's going to tell us, hey, that's not really a good idea. Why don't you think about it this way? Or do you really have enough money in the bank to hire all those people or whatever, you know, the case may be, depending on what kind of business you have. And so it's something that I can't emphasize enough what you just said. It's really important to surround yourself with those accountability partners, to find the right people to coach you, to find the people who are smarter than you in the room, who you can go to for advice, who are willing to say no to you, who are willing to tell you how to look at things in a different way. And that could be positive. It could be, okay, I need a course correct here. But the more I surround myself with those kind of people, the better I get and the better I am. And the more willing I'm just willing to speak my truth, right? To say to my CEO, I love you. I love working with you, but I can't take over for you because that is the way that you want me to structure that life is not congruent with my values, my family, the things that I need to pour into. I have an orphanage that I help fund. That's a whole other story. But my one daughter, I have and two fur babies. My daughter's 15. She's going to be out of school in a couple of years. So I need to make sure I'm pouring as much time and love and energy into her in this time, like to get her to where she wants to go next. Right. And that is so much more important to me than making all of the money in the world. I also know by being my best self and showing up my best self, I will make the money I want to make, but I can do it in a different way. It doesn't have to be the way everybody else does it. So are these some of the things that you tackle when you're working with people as a coach? Because you worked in different businesses. You did sales. You were a GM for a long time. And then you transitioned into, you know what? I'm going to take everything I've learned and I'm going to step into this new role.
That's right. And so here's a thought. I mentioned earlier the book is coming out and it's actually coming out today when this launches. The book is called The Eternal Optimist. It's never too late. Right. And my coaching practice is around taking these repeating mistakes that people make over and over and over again, figuring out what those are, and then changing their inner programming so they can stop making those mistakes and do like tiny, tiny tweaks that will help them to have a system that operates a little bit better. Right. So I will help them to shift their system, shift their thinking just a hair that will help them get the big uplift they're looking for and live congruently.
Yeah.
You know, and I do that in financial services, in big retail, real estate, you know, tech companies, entrepreneur companies. So do that in a number of different places. The point is, everyone out there, I would ask you to take an assessment of yourself with this question. So here's another opportunity to take a note, team. The question is, in 10 seconds or less, can you tell me, are you winning or losing individually and as a team?
Now,
and interpret that as you will. If you're talking your profession, are you winning individually in your role? And if you don't know what your role is, you don't know what success looks like in a day, week, month, a year from now, and you don't know what consistent actions get you there, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem because you're just kind of shooting at it from the hip in a very reactive state. That's where a lot of us are overwhelmed, just kind of like everything's a fire drill. Hey, no judgment, my friends, because that's where most leaders and most entrepreneurs are, to be frank. All right. So I help them shift that into a more systematized, scalable way on both the way that they run the business and the way they think. Yeah. All right. Those are a couple of things I do professionally that I've been helping people do for last decade as a coach, and the last like 30 years as someone who's run companies and worked with a lot of people.
So yeah.
That's it. That's all.
That's all. But those repeating patterns are, you don't know until you know, right? Because I've identified them in my personal life through therapy. And as soon as I realized it, it changed and shifted. And now I'm in the best relationship I've ever had in my life. And it's going to be my lifelong relationship, right? And then for work, the same thing. I have this repeating pattern that I've seen over several years, maybe a decade, and realized, oh, this is the pattern. I keep doing this. I keep getting back. And then now I'm finally at the stage where I'm like, I'm not repeating that pattern anymore. So it's not an overnight thing. But if I had probably workshopped this with somebody earlier, perhaps I would have come to it sooner, right? Mm-hmm. I learned a lot of great lessons along the way, but there are several things that I probably didn't need to learn as well. So I love that you're able to do this for people. And do you, primarily because you do keynote speaking, you speak to educators, you also work with people, you know, through your podcast. They can listen to and get advice. They're going to be able to read your book. You work with teams. Do you work one-on-one? Do you do like mastermind groups? What are the other ways people connect with you?
Great question. And the way they connect with me, first and foremost, is the Eternal Optimist podcast. It's on all the major platforms. You can go to the Eternal Optimist, my YouTube channel. So those are the places to go. And plus, you can see my name right here in the show notes, Drink On. There's only 12 of us in the whole country, and I'm the only Matt. I'm really easy to find. Oh. Matt Drink On. That's how you find me. But where I would like to really put a plug in for our audience is if you struggle with feeling overwhelmed all the time at your job or in your business, or if you struggle with being impatient with your kids, with your spouse, significant other, with your employees, if you struggle with that, or if you go inside and you have an inner dialogue, it's always cutting you down or telling you the words. And here's how to know if there's an opportunity. If you're using the word should all the time in your inner dialogue with other people, or when you're using the word but often, then you might have an opportunity here to be a recovering perfectionist. And that is who I like to work with, because that is me to the T. Someone needed to have the highest standard, the best of everything to the every nth detail. Yeah. I was not any good at delegating because I could do it better. I was not any good at being able to let go of an 80% effective project because it had to be 100% or else.
Yeah.
Right? If you're in that boat, then reach out to me. Me or one of the 100+ coaches we have in our organization might be able to serve you, because that's how we serve people, is help them work on their inner narrative, which helps them to scale their business outwardly. So that's what I love to do. And you can find me in any of those places. When you get the book, I ask that you all go and buy the ebook on March 8th today from Amazon for 99 cents. Just buy the ebook and get a hard copy if you're still into the hard copy. It's a beautiful book. I don't have the cover right now in front of me, but it's got in the front cover a person standing in front of, it's in a dark room, and they're standing in front of a door full of light. And no matter what mistake you've made, or no matter how you feel about yourself, whatever challenge you're having, it's never too late to learn how to turn it around and do whatever you want and live life your dreams. You just need to learn how.
Yeah.
And the book is a roadmap to that through personal stories. So
would love
you guys to check it out.
Awesome. And would you say that this is the biggest challenge that people face today, is that their inner dialogue doesn't match what they're trying to achieve outwardly? And so they can never catch up, and they can't get to that point where, go ahead, bring it on.
How much more time do we have? Because that's a deep philosophical question. The biggest challenge that people face nowadays, they may not even know that they face it, but as someone who worked with high-level leaders, I feel one of the biggest challenges that at least I can say for me here in the United States is I feel sometimes there's a lack of leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, because right now we've got this society that's set up, and it's increasingly over time become more and more divided, which just blows my mind. You know, the idea of having pride in the country or pride in, you know, the people around us, that was something that it felt it was out in the open some 25 years ago. And now there is, you're either on this side or this side. It's very divided. It's a very weird feeling, and it's not a great feeling. You know, and you know, what's the challenge? Well, outwardly, I feel we need stronger leadership to stand up for some values and not go wherever the political winds go. I think a lot of the challenges that we face are imposed on us by having a system that's designed to keep people apart and fear click.
Absolutely. You know,
which is, so that's one thing. But if you go to the individual person, what's the challenge? I think a lot of people might say that they want something, but they're not doing the actions that they need to do to get there. And or they're not really clear with what they want. They just go through the same pattern each and every day. None of this, by the way, dear listener, is from place of judgment, because I've done each and every one of these things, and I have my own stuff. We have all got stuff. If you ask me what people's challenge is, and if I could talk to every single person individually, I bet you I can figure it out with them, through them speaking out their challenge. If you ask what the challenge is, I'd say, let's get really, really congruent on what you want, listener. Write it all down. Look at it every day. Dave and John, you know, from Shark Tank, who founded FUBU, which is a multi-billion dollar brand.
Right.
You know, he has his little pad of goals that he reads when he wakes up in the morning and when he goes to bed at night every day. Right. Jesse Itzler, also guy who built major brands in sports, right? He wrote a book with David Goggins, you know, Living with a Seal. That guy, I follow him, and he is super clear on the experiences he wants to have in life and what he's offering people out there as a speaker. So get clear on what you want. Look at it all the time. Just live it, breathe it. And then, you know, the challenges are in a different lens. But when we're not clear on what we want or how to get there, and we're always distracted and overwhelmed, it's hard to really dive into what we want. It's hard to have inner peace if you're not living it in congruent. So if you're not living congruently. So if you're looking to solve that or work on that team, then please seek me out, and either I or someone on my team will be able to serve you, and we'll see if we can help you in some way.
Fantastic. And you mentioned you have a number of coaches, so you were able to scale your business pretty successfully. And I'm intrigued about if you encountered different entrepreneurial challenges and different business challenges when you went from that world of, you know, working in other people's businesses into having your coaching business, and then figuring out what the world of work looked like then.
Yeah. Well, let me clarify something, because I am an independent contractor in my coaching company. I don't own the company, and all those 100 coaches don't report to me. You know, there are, I want to say, about 15, 17 coaches in our company that do this full time for a career, that are high earners, that have a multitude of experience. Those are my peers, right? You know, my partner, Rich Campy, is the owner of Pro Advisor Coach, where I coach right now, and I've been there for the last 10 years. I love this man. And, you know, I've been the top producer for the past few years, so they do look to me for leadership. It's not my company. I didn't want to imply that it is. But things, as we've grown and scaled, have evolved. Right now, at a seven-figure business, it's like, do I keep doing one-on-one? Do I do masterminds? I mean, a lot of people out there are trying to offer me feedback on that. All I want to do is just help people, and I'm very happy doing it the way we are right now. So one-on-one, some team coaching, and I've got two group mastermind coaching programs starting this year in April and in July.
Okay.
So those are some things that are happening down the horizon. But first and foremost... go and hit the smash that subscribe button. My kids, I watch Mr. Beast like every day. So go smash the button, baby, and get the book when it comes out today.
Fantastic. Well, we will definitely link directly to the book and also have everything else available. So my last question is, do you have a favorite quote, family motto, a mantra, a verse, just some words that help drive you every day? I'm sure you have several, but is there one that's really resonating in this moment?
I do, and I read this every day because I feel that I have to own my attitude and effort every day. So I'm going to read this to you. It's a paragraph, and it's from Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. That's G-O-E-T-H-E. And it is this: I have come to the frightening conclusion that I am the decisive element. It is my personal approach that creates the climate. It is my daily mood that makes the weather. I possess tremendous power to make life miserable or joyous. I can be a tool of torture or an instrument of inspiration. I can humiliate or humor, hurt or heal. In all situations, it is my response that decides whether a crisis is escalated or de-escalated, and a person is humanized or dehumanized. If we treat people as they are, we make them worse. If we treat people as they ought to be, we help them become what they are capable of becoming. So I read that pretty frequently, just so I can always own how I'm showing up, because my climate probably sets the mood for my family, or helps clients or hurts them, helps people or hurts them. So I just want to help. And Monica, you've helped me a lot today. I just love your energy. This has been a great experience. So thank you so much for having me on your show. And let's connect afterwards. I want to get you on my show too. This has been great.
I'd love to be on your show. And it's the same thing for me. This is one of those conversations where I'm walking away feeling really inspired to continue taking the actions that I'm taking and continue down that path and continuing to learn and grow. So I'm going to take that paragraph and put it somewhere where I can see it often as well, because that really resonated. And I think those are really wise words for us to think about. How we show up shapes the view of others as well as ourselves. So
awesome. Well, okay. In that case, here is the last thing I would share. And I share this on every coaching call.
Yeah.
And everyone that I work with, and even in my personal life, is that when we commit to the soonest, smallest, simplest action, after you just said you're going to write that quote down, or after you listen to a podcast, you get some good news, some good stuff you can use, what's the soonest thing that you can possibly do to take action? And I ask every listener, if you got some value from today, what's the soonest, simplest action you could take right now to continue the momentum you gained from this discussion, right? Because that is ultimately going to be what gets us where we're going to go. It's going to be the actions we take. So it all feels good and it sounds good and we feel good right now. Yeah. What are you going to do about it, my friends? What are you going to do? What's the simplest, soonest action? And with that, this has been awesome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Wow. That was a perfect closer. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Matt Drinkon, for being here. The Eternal Optimist podcast book coming out today. We will have that link to the show notes for everybody. I will also put in my newsletter and all that fun stuff. So thank you to everybody who's watched or listened to this episode. I have gotten so much out of this time with Matt. I know you have as well. And I'll be back again with another amazing guest in a day or two.
Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with a design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.